Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm your host, Manon Sabir, the Grapevine, and you are tuning in and picking some grapes on the award-winning The Truth 101.7. Glad we in this building today, man. I'm glad we in this building. I hope y'all feel my energy from the weekend. It was long weekend, man. It was long, long, long. Hope you are enjoying your day. Hope your day is going very fruitful. And hopefully you can get back to work doing what you need to do to support your family. I'm glad we are all in the building because it is Mindful Motivation Monday. And this whole week is Black Adventure Week for me. I've deemed it Black Adventure Week, so we're going to have adventure everything. And before I say anything else, I want to ask you one big question. I want you to let it settle in real quick. Don't answer too fast. When was the last time you did something for the first time? When's the last time you did something for the first time? Let's let that breathe a little bit. When is the last time you did something for the first time? Not a new show to binge. Not a new restaurant down the street, downtown Milwaukee, on Water Street, wherever. I mean something that really, really stretched you. Somewhere you, like, have never been. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Something that made your heart just beat different, right? I've been pondering this question all weekend. And I'm like, what have I done lately that really made my heart beat in a different drum? Like, when was the last time I did something for the first time and felt a huge amount of excitement? It's crazy. Something that made your heart go, okay, man, like jump out of your chest. I remember, like, my daddy having, like, what I mean by that, though, I remember my father having trained us in this. It was one day. The training was hard. I mean, we probably ran a good 10, 12 miles. And, oh, man, I was like, man, my heart is about to crash. I mean, we already 3 hours into a workout, three, fighting. We enter the gym, and he already says put the gloves on. I was like, all right, this is not the way this is supposed to happen today. I thought I was just gonna be, you know, warm. You know how you get into the gym, you warm up, and boom. But when's the last time, like, that type of heartbeat? When's the last time you did something for the first time? Like, when's the last time you stood somewhere new and thought, I can't believe I'm here. I cannot believe I'm here. For a lot of us, the answer is, I can't remember. And by 4 o'clock today, I want to just go home. I want to change. Why? Because all my sisters and all my brothers out there, I need to start a confession. I caught myself doing it, really. I really caught myself doing it this weekend. You see somebody diving off a boat in the middle of nowhere, swimming. Like, you know, I seen on this Red Bull, it was not a commercial, but like this Red Bull YouTube piece. This lady, she dove from like however many feet high into a net in the middle of the ocean. Guess what this net was surrounded by? Y'all couldn't guess. Sharks. Now, you know, if she would have missed, sharks would have ate her up. But that's what I'm saying. Like, something that makes your heart just pound. And she did it. She came out the water. She was like, yeah. Somebody on the side of a mountain, 20,000 feet up. Somebody backpacking through a country you can't even pronounce. Like somewhere in the middle of Mongolia, you know, on the side of like a country on the side of Mongolia, whatever country that is, Bhutan or something like that, right? Like, and this, but there's it for black people. There's this little voice that goes, "That's a white people thing. That's a them thing." And not for us. I'm killing that voice today. I'm going to kill that voice today on this show live. Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. We're going to prove all afternoon to pull the explorer. We're going to prove that we need to pull the explorer out of you. Exploration is not handed out by race. The mountain just doesn't check your color at the base camp. We're going to talk about base camp and mountain climbing and stuff like that. The ocean doesn't ask where your people are from. The air is not asking, man, is this person Chinese? Nah. Do they speak Mandarin? Mm-mm. The air doesn't, there's no forgiveness for those things. They all are here to serve us, and we're here to work our servitude. Work our servitude off. Work their servitude off. So think about it. And I mean, literally, I want y'all to think about it, because this is a thinking show today. This is an adventure show, but we're talking, what I'm aiming to do is we're going to not just discuss adventure, but adventure is a part of real life mental health, expanding the mind to make the world feel small. We got to do that. And I mean, literally, and this is science. This is science, so we're gonna tackle this. There's a gene called DRD4-7R, and scientists nicknamed it. And you wonder, think about this: scientists nicknamed this thing the Wanderlust gene. It's a dopamine receptor gene that, if you carry it, your brain pulls less feel good chemicals from sitting still. So in order for you to feel alive, you have to go get it. You got to go after something. You activate this gene through newness, through something being brand new, through movement, through feeling like you're alive, through seeing something you've never seen ever in your life. And only scientists measured this gene. Only 1 in 5 people on Earth carry it. Only 1 in 5 people on Earth carry it. And here's what stops me dead in my tracks. When researchers mapped it, the people who carry it the most are descendant from the ones who migrated the furthest. Y'all want to guess? That's right. The greatest human journey came out of, come on, y'all, Africa. Came out of Africa, across the entire planet. Came out of Africa, expanded from one little area. I mean, Africa's not little, but think about the spot where we expanded from, and we expanded everywhere. Everywhere. And that was through restlessness. That was through knowing that we needed to be a wanderlust. We had to find something new. We had to find a place to go. And how we did it? We moved. We walked. We got out of our comfort zone. I'm pretty sure we were sitting there like, I don't know. The sun is kind of shining nice. Whatever. But we had to go. It was time. So that itch that you felt, that you feel right now, there has got to be more than these same blocks type of feeling. Like, man, I'm on the same block. I'm in the same city. I'm in here. Where you're sitting right now, there has to be more than that? And that's what we're exploring. That's what we're thinking about. So it's not a white thing. That's one of the oldest, most traveled pieces of code in the human body. And it walked out of Africa. It started with us. When someone says adventure is in your blood, tell them scientists literally found it right there, that wanderlust gene. So if it's in our blood, why do we let somebody convince us that it wasn't? Because when we come back, I want to talk about a man who's been to literally the ends of the earth, and he did it on camera, and why a black man in his 50s decided that was the assignment. Why? That is the question. That is one of the reasons why we do what we do is because of this gene. So I want to make sure on this segment, on these segments, right here on The Truth, 101.7, we answer this question. Why are we pushed? Why should we push ourselves beyond where we're sitting right now? We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back in 3 minutes. You'll be amazed to find out who actually went to the ends of the earth on The Truth, 101.7.
Yeah. Heatmakers, killer. Woo. Yeah. Let's do it.
This is it. Come right on, here, man.
Feel good, right, man.
Diplomat. Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
Woo.
Jim Jones, where you at, baby?
That's right.
I'm
man, Dipset all day. Yeah. Woo. Man, you got to pull another one out later on. Listen, y'all. This is The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir. And you're on the award-winning The Truth 101.7 Radio. That's right. And we're answering the question, when's the last time you did something for the first time? When is the last time you did something for the first time? So we're back on the Black Adventure Week. That's right. I deem this week Black Adventure Week. You know, first week of August, before kids go back to school, you got to have an adventure. Either take them with you or do something by yourself. But this is Black Adventure Week, unofficially, for all the Truth Nation, all the hosts. Y'all got to go hard now. I want to talk about Will Smith on Black Adventure Week today. Not all day. And not the thing that you're thinking about. I know it's August, but we're not talking about August. Leave that to the side. I want to talk about where this man has physically been, and it's pretty much staggering to me. It's for real staggering. And because why he did it is the whole lesson here. So it starts with National Geographic. He has a series called Welcome to Earth. And in that one show, he crossed 34 countries and 7 continents. And let me actually list what this man did, because I want y'all to understand. He rappelled down into an active volcano in the South Pacific, Vanuatu, in the South Pacific. So it's a country there. Small, very small country. Molten lava exploding around them to plant sensors inside the volcano with this volcanologist. And then he rode a deep water submersible 3,300 feet to the bottom of the ocean. A place so dark you can barely see in front of your face. No human beings have been there. He swam with manta rays in the Maldives. He walked in the Namibia desert. He got dropped by helicopter onto a glacier in Iceland. He ran water whitewater rapids to teach himself to read the wild. And then this year, season two, he did it again. Bigger and better. 26,000 miles, 100 days from the South Pole to the North Pole, Antarctica, the Amazon, the Himalayas, African deserts, the Pacific Islands, the Arctic ice. I mean, this man did it. Now, y'all can say what you want to say about Will Smith. Honestly, let me sidebar this. Y'all can say what you want to say about Will Smith. He slapped old boy. He's with, you know, and he had it probably. And y'all can fill in all the blanks. But one thing he is not afraid to do is sign that waiver form. Like, man, this can be a little risky. And a lot of the things he did was a little risky. So, he literally did everything. But here's what amazes me is that he has enough money as almost dang near a billionaire. I'm not counting his pockets, but you know, he ain't got to work. So he can live on a yacht, 300-foot yacht for the rest of his life, the rest of his natural life. He can go and do red carpets all over the world. He can private everything, private chef, private this. Him and his kids, do whatever you want. Never be uncomfortable at all. Private bunker if something goes wrong. And he keeps choosing a volcano, the Amazon, the bottom of the ocean, glaciers. And why? Why? Remember the question that I just asked you? Why? The question was, when was the last time you did something for the first time? When was the last time you did something for the first time? So, for him, here's his why. In his own words, and this is the mindful part of it. This is the part where Mindful Motivation Mondays really comes into play. Is I know you're listening, you're like, man, why is he telling me this? There's a reason. I think we gotta, you know, God places it on our hearts to do this, because I'm looking at, before I go into his reason, I'm looking at a video on one of the social media pages, and I see some girls fighting. I mean, they're scrapping, and it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. And they're scrapping a lot. And they're all in the construction barricades, and it's just going down. But what I realized, and someone mentioned this to me, is that we do these little things that we feel like mean something when the world is so big. It's almost like we're taking these pebbles, and I'm gonna remind you about this pebble. We take this energy, and the energy is like a pebble. It's as large as a pebble. It's on a dirt road, and we keep just kicking the pebble down the dirt road, looking down at the pebble rather than looking at the entire universe. Now, if you think about it, from the end of the universe to that pebble, how large is that universe? That pebble is so insignificant. And we're thinking about the pebble. We continue to think about the pebble. It's foul the way that video played out. So back to Will Smith. I'm going to tell you. He says he's uncomfortable with water. He's afraid of it. And he keeps going back to water. Like, all the places that he's been contain water outside of the volcano. And the volcano is liquid. It's hot. He had to quote his grandmother when someone asked him about why he continues to do that. And he said his grandmother told him, God placed the greatest things in life on the other side of your worst fears. Y'all, think about this. God placed the greatest things in life on the other side of your worst fears. That is absolutely genius. Cheers to his grandmother. Whoever, man, cheers to Will Smith. Cheers to your grandmother. I got to say, that's it. That's the whole thing. Time to wrap up the show. No, I'm just kidding. He's not chasing danger. He's chasing what's behind the fear. Every single trip, the fear was the door. The fear was the door, was the barrier. For him, he's chasing what is behind the fear. I remember a soccer player tells me, hey, if you have a defender in front of you, don't look at the defender. Look behind the defender because it's so much space. It's so much space in this world. So we have to catch what he's modeling because this matters for us specifically. Peace is not the absence of pressure. Peace is not the absence of pressure. Peace is what you earn on the far side of the thing that scared you. This man is a literal billionaire, basically. And he decided the assignment for the back half of his life. He's basically at the end. He's 50-something years old. The back half of his life was to keep walking into fear, into purpose, on camera. A lot of this stuff, if we could feel his legs, they were shaking through the camera. So for the rest of us, we had to watch him do it as a black man, as a black person. And he did it in the very most extreme places on earth. He put himself in frame on purpose at 50-something years old. At 50-something years old, we're not in that frame. And that's exactly where we're going next. We're going to go there next. Because it's easy for a movie star to do it. But let's talk about our kids. Right here in Milwaukee. And a number about passports. We're going to talk about passports. That made me put my hot chocolate down. Yeah, I got hot chocolate right here. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about our kids and passports when we come back in 3 minutes on the award-winning Truth 101.7. Me saying, boy, I'm going down. I'm going down. Because you ain't around, baby. My whole world. Huh? Yes, yes. Lord, please believe me. Yes. Since you've been gone. Yeah, you welcome back. You are welcomed back to the truth, the award-winning, the Truth 101.7 radio. And this is The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manan Sabir. We are picking some grapes. Okay, so this segment I've been wanting to do all week, and I need my working mothers, aunties, big sisters locked in, because this one's actually for us to decide something. Aunties, uncles, cousins, brothers, this is something for us to decide. Here's a number only about 34 black Americans hold a valid passport. 34 black Americans hold a valid passport. Compare that to 42 of white Americans, 55% of Hispanic Americans. We are last by a lot. Only a third of us hold the single document that unlocks the rest of the entire planet. And before anybody calls in, if you call in mad, this is not because we don't want to go. A lot of the barriers are actually real. The passport is $165 just to apply. There's the fear, I think for us, there's the fear around racism abroad. There's the fact that we rarely see ourselves in travel pictures. Rarely see our brain kind of files it under like it's not for me. Those are actually real. And I'm not good vibing past all of that because, you know, like I'm an optimistic person. But those are real. Absolutely real. Man, we were taught to and have been prioritizing the fear over what we can change that week. So let me play before we go to the next thing. Let me play something for you with Will Smith. Let's play that.
So what exactly was that ceremony? Like, what does it signify?
Have you seen any fish run around here now since you walked out?
Right? Yeah, no.
You look at the corals, they're dead. The whole reef area is closed until the fish return.
So this acts basically as a signal to anyone that might come around to not fish this area.
Yes. This is our food source. Without healthy coral reefs, we will have nothing.
Y'all see that? I mean, yeah. Listen, and Guru, you're right. Mr. Bhatti, whatever you want to say, he has some demons to shake. Yeah. Everybody got him. And he probably got a gang load of them. And this is a way to do it. But it's not about him. It's about us. Like, where are we going as a people? And not only do we own certain categories because a lot of the adventure came from us, but we also have sold those categories to other people. So we have to do what? We have to reclaim this genetic code that is intuitive, that is inherent inside of us. That is looking for us to say, all right, you know what? Where are you going to go? Like, for example, yes, I've been on a mountain. I've been to a lot of mountains. I've been to a mountain that was straight up a volcano and looked inside and went inside a little bit. All that sulfur, yes, been there. It was scary. It was completely scary. Walking up the mountain at the base of the mountain, you're like, okay, this is cool. But then all of a sudden, like, you got to put your mask on. And then you start doing what? You start feeling like you start feeling the atmosphere change and also the chemicals in the air change. That is real life. That is real life. Like if you don't recognize that you have the opportunity on this really large world, to operate in your truth in this large, vast land that our ancestors traversed, then we're doing them and doing us a disservice if you haven't done it. And I think we're going to talk about it later on. We're really going to talk about, like, if, you know, yes, Will Smith, multimillionaire, did his thing, whatever, got money to do it. But you can do that right here in Wisconsin. if you're from Wisconsin, for my people that are in Georgia or listen in over in some of my folks in Somalia, whatever, if you can do that right where you stand, right where you stand. I was talking to one of my guys from Somalia, and I asked him, I was like, so you went back? He said, yeah, I went back to Somalia. And I was like, so what is it like there? He was like, oh, it's nice. I was like, okay. Like this, he said, the city is nice and everything. All right, cool. I was like, so what's city life like? He was like, well, we have hyenas. What? Y'all have hyenas? Yeah, he said they walk around. They're like, it's like open air in some areas, some parts of the city that he's from. It's open season. Like they're there, not open season eating people, but you know, they have hyenas. And he said one day he was walking around and hyena was kind of following him. Now they want to find whether or not they can trap you or not. He just went to somebody's house, knocked on the door. They let him in. Now I'm not going to say that is the type of venture I'm looking for, but I am going to tell you that that is a journey. That is an adventure that happens. So now let me show you. I got to show you the other side of the passport. I have to show you the other side of the passport because this one will sit right here, right on your chest. And I'm not going to show you this video yet. But I'm just going to describe it. There's a stretch of water between, and if you ever been to the bottom of Spain, there's a stretch of water between Morocco and this place called Ceuta. It's a little piece of Spanish territory on the coast of North Africa. And people swim it. They swim it in the dark. They swim it in the cold. Some with nothing but an inner tube. I mean, or a plastic jug to stay afloat. It's the closest point between Africa and Spain. And I think it's about 3.1 miles. So you got the Strait of Gibraltar, then you have like this little area. It's like a little point, and people swim it to get to Spain. That's how far it is. Not far at all. So, but people do it now because some of them are swimming with nothing but an inner tube or a plastic jug to stay afloat, fleeing what's behind them, swimming towards a fence, swimming towards rocks, towards a chance, towards life that they cannot get any other way. Let's play that video real quick. I'm going to show you what this young man was doing. He wound up swimming with just, I guess, one other thing. He had this little piece of device to hold his phone, and he's showing you him swimming from between Morocco and Spain. Yeah. He's literally showing you what he's doing. Now, That's a lot of 3 miles. That's a lot of swimming. So now hold that next. I'm going to hold that next to us because here's the ache of it. Those swimmers would have given anything for the document that we're talking about, for our passport, for a passport that's unclaimed in America, unclaimed by our kids, unclaimed by you if you don't have one. And we can just walk right into a passport office, pay the fee, and legally the whole world just opens up. The whole world. They're swimming through the dark for what we won't drive 10 miles to apply for. I'm not coming down on anyone, but we have to think about our privilege. Because that's the same muscle. The will to move, to not stay put, to cross towards something better, to remember that wanderlust gene that's inside of us that I described at the top of the show. That one that gene that walked out of Africa. That's it. Some of us spend that drive on a coral reef. Some spend it just to survive the night. Some use that gene to cross Africa into Spain. And some of us, with the legal door standing wide open, aren't spending it at all. And I need y'all to let that be the last time that we find out that that's what we're going to do. We got to chill out with that. We're going to talk about the team takeovers and what we can do with a passport when we come back in 3 minutes on the award-winning Truth 101.7.
Hey Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand?
Woo. Hey, welcome Joe. Back to the Grapevine. I'm your host, Manan Sabir. And we're almost to the other side of the Grapevine, but we're picking some more grapes. And I gotta talk about these teen takeovers, man, because they continue to happen. We just not publishing them, but there's a few videos one came across my desk, but y'all seen them. They're happening everywhere. Atlanta, Chicago, Detroit. Yes, and our young folks are here too. For real, our young folks are still doing it. Down in Atlanta, it got so big, the city gave two young girls, $50,000, a $50,000 grant to two 17-year-olds. And God blessed them. God, please bless them. Because they're looking to use that 50 G's to build safe spaces so teens can have some place to be. $50,000 to give kids a room. There's a lot to say about that 50. Because I know a few people in Atlanta that have spent 50 on whatever. On literally whatever. So that's $50,000. And let me do the math. Let me do some math out loud because I want you to feel it. I really want y'all to feel it. Think about what gets spent in this city in a single month on the scene. Cigar lounge on Friday, bottle service on Saturday, nice dinner, fit for the gram, fit for the gym, ticket to the show, the day party, you know, a good 3 days adds up. Plus, if you add up them 3 days times 3 weekends, a grown folks turn up in Milwaukee, it could get serious, because Milwaukee got a lot to do. Now, it does. But that number, 3 weekends, just think about that number for 3 weekends. So imagine you spending $400 a weekend. Just, you know, let's take a number. $400 per weekend. $400 is a plane ticket and a place for a teenager to go while they land in that city. I'm talking about overseas. It can be overseas small C, or it can overseas large C. But it's a plane ticket for a teenager who's never left Wisconsin. And I'm going to tell you how that fits in. My brother, my father, God bless his soul, said one day, like a month before we were supposed to do this, he said, Hey, y'all, we got to start getting ready to go to London. I was like, London? I'm like, yeah, right. We're going to London? Man, I'm 10 years old. He's like, yeah, we're going to go to London. And, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of money, but he's dug up some money, worked for whatever he had to do, and he got 3 plane tickets, bought us tickets to London, my brother and I. And school was out June 14th. June 15th, we were on the plane to London for 3 months. Now, for two young kids who have never been on a plane at age 10 and 13, that is absolutely amazing. And it opened up my eyes to the degree that I could not stop traveling. It was like he turned on this gene, and it was like, go, get out of here. And I chased that. I chased that feeling every time I travel. I can go to Kettle Moraine, Lampum Peak, and that is the fulfillment of that wanderlust gene. So there's a kid, you know, that's looking for us, that's looking for someone who has the means, the resources, organizations who have the means and the resources to do exactly that. That's a kid standing on soil in Ghana, in Mexico, in Canada, in Jamaica, Grenada, all them places. Straight up. Mexico City, or just getting on the plane for the first time in their life and looking down at the clouds and realizing the world is bigger than their block. I want to play a video real quick because this is exactly what a teen takeover is. Yep. Exactly what a teen takeover is. So imagine 100 people got Pooh Shiesty mask on, uniforms, whatever they want to call it a uniform, you can call it a uniform. Whatever you want to do. And if this is in the Dells, I guess it's in the Dells. They had a whole big convention, and it's probably whatever it is. It could be something really good. I mean, it's no doubt about it. But these are some young people. Because apparently, if I was at a family, I wouldn't want to be out there in some, you know, in a parka. I'm not going to do that. And dressed up like my boys sliding down a water slide. That's not me. But it could be you. It's all good. But just think about it. We have the time. We have the money. Imagine, we're spending it every weekend on experiences that are going to evaporate. These experiences are going to evaporate by Monday. And that's no problem. It is an experience. But in terms of culture, how are you handing that experience, that life, to someone as legacy? So the takeover isn't a money problem. It's a direction problem. It's that little pebble that we're putting our energy into. Those kids have energy, and they have nowhere to put it. We got resources, and we've been taught to point them at the lounge instead of the launch pad. We've been taught to, yo, you know what? Let's go to the cigar bar. Cool. Let's go to the club over here. That's cool. Nope, no doubt about it. I mean, everybody has their own thing. They should be able to experience their own experiences. But from a people's perspective, we have to think, there has to be some type of different type of thinking, a different way to make things happen. We have to allow ourselves to work with our teens in terms of the teen takeovers and show them something completely different. Now, Why do we think this way? Why is the individual weekend the default and the passport the fantasy? Why does the passport have to be the fantasy? It's not an accident either. It's not an accident that there's barriers to purchasing a passport. The barriers are made for people who are of color not to receive a passport. And it's the craziest thing in the world. I remember at the Juice Kitchen, I used to ask kids all the time, man, do you have a passport? All right, look, here's what you do. Go down to the post office. Get a passport application. Let's fill it out together with your parents. Fill it out. Get your picture. Turn it in. I mean, get the supporting documents. Very simple. Very simple. But none of this is an accident. It's not an accident. I'm not going to necessarily blame it on the system, but there's a system at play to keep certain people out. That's something we're taught, and it goes deeper. It goes way deeper than money. It goes all the way to how we were told to raise our children. And that's next. I don't want anybody to go anywhere. We'll be back in 3 minutes on the award-winning The Truth 101.7.